gathering back up, I want to just share a quick point out of Daniel chapter 1. I know we got some more guys coming in, and I know it's the late hour, but it kind of relates to maybe the things that's happened today. And if you know, the book of Daniel is an important book for our lives to be consecrated before the Lord and always make good choices. And so, again, there's a few more people in the back coming in. I don't want to draw this out, but I do think it's important to gather and to worship and share God's word. And so I'm going to do that. I know we've been kind of, not to use a good word, but discombobulated because of the different events. But I just know God's word never comes back void. So I'd like to share just quickly the first point of my sermon, which hopefully will make a difference in the lives of some. The Bible says this: in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of the king of Judah into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Asdanez, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed of his princes, children with whom there was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding in science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongues of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, of the wine which he drank, so nourishing him 3 years, that at the end thereof they may stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For the names Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those that have in the past endured hostilities and trials and troubles and tribulations and stood fast in their walk with you, like Daniel did. Lord, today we ask that when you look at this passage, that we too might see where we are failing, that we are under attack, that we too might stand firm and fast and simply share the word of God with power, that we may just cling to you with all that we are and live a holy life. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I know it's not maybe a good time to tell something a little funny, but I think this kind of matches in exactly what we need to understand. So I heard about a mall, a lady at the mall finishing her shopping, reaching to her purse to grab her keys, and she said, I don't know where they are, maybe I left them in the car. She goes out where she usually parks her car, and no car. So she panics, calls 911, and says, somebody has stolen my car. Then kind of feeling dumb about that, she finally calls her husband and said, I left my keys in the car, somebody stole the car, man, this is not good. Her husband said, you didn't get your car stolen, I dropped you off the mall. She said, oh my goodness, can you come and pick me up? He said, I sure will, after I convinced the police that I did not steal your car. Now, I like that because we forget things left and right. We forget our keys. We forget our parked car. In this case, she forgot she was even dropped off. But we should never, ever forget whose we are in Christ Jesus. We should never forget the Lord. I love Daniel, especially chapter 1, because it shows us that he did not forget whose he was, that he was the Lord above. And so let me just encourage you as you look at your life and recognize that you wrestle with different things and hardships and trials. There are some things in our life that sometimes wants to pull us the wrong way, but let me encourage you, never forget that you're the Lord's and be found faithful in him. So notice just this first part of this particular chapter. First, there's the problem for the faithful, the problem for the faithful. We're going to find something happens in the life of Daniel. He was a man that loved the Lord. There's no doubt we find that throughout his life. But really, there were some troubles in his life. First, we find there's the collapse of his country. It's amazing as you look at Israel, they didn't learn from, or Judah did not learn from the nation of Israel. Israel has fallen about 100 or so years before Judah. Judah continued to sin, so now we find that the Babylonians come in and they take over the country. They're invaders from a foreign land. And we begin to think about our life, that how bad this would be if our country was overrun. And we think about our life and maybe how our life is overrun. And all these bad things sometimes take place in our life. And you know you've heard me say this before, but really bad things happen for a couple of reasons, maybe for three reasons. One, sin and selfishness. Remember Numbers 32:23. But if you do not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians chapter 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what your man soweth, that he shall also reap. I'm just here to tell you, when you and I sin, both when we do things we should not do, calamity will come, hardships will take place, because when we sin against the Lord, trials will follow. That is the nature, and that's the word of God. Secondly, we find that sometimes Satan is against us. I like what Paul said. Paul had a plan to serve the Lord and plan to do things right, a plan to go different places. But he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see you face with great desire." In other words, I'm coming to see you. I'm going to do that. Verse 18 says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." And so we find sometimes in our life, hardships and trials, troubles come because Satan comes against us. We find that in the book of Job, he was against Job. We find he's against Paul. And even now in the book of Daniel, Daniel has been hindered, we believe, because Satan has been let loose, and now the invaders of Babylon have overcome the land. Now I'm reminded what the Bible says about Satan. He says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." But then he reminds us, "I have come," speaking about Jesus, "that they may have life and have life more abundantly." That's in John 10:10. So let me ask you, are you having hardships and trials today? It could be because of your sin and your selfishness. But there's another reason, I think, and that is the idea of sometimes the Savior kind of puts us in our place. Sometimes the Savior allows things to happen that we may grow and be strengthened in our faith. And you could say that about this, because we find in Daniel chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand." Let me read that again. "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand." Speaking about the king of Babylon. So we find here that sometimes bad things happen, but through those bad things and through those trials, we are strengthened in such a way that we have a testimony that gives great grace to others. I'm reminded of Joseph. If you remember, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was lied about by Potiphar's wife. He was put in prison, all these things. But something happens. God was with him, and he stays faithful, and God raised him to the top. He is the second in command in Egypt. Later years, his brothers come before him, and they're petrified. But notice this. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 and 20 says this, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Sometimes in our life, God allows hardship to take place, but through that, God raises up people to do great things. Think about little David, hunted like a dog by King Saul, and yet through those trials, he learned how to be a warrior. He learned how to lead people. He learned how to do great things, and God raised David up, a great king. And now we find Daniel, who had lost everything. He had lost his home. He had lost his family. He was basically kidnapped as a ransom, taken to a foreign land, and we will find him rising to the top. And so don't let the things in your life, when they collapse, simply hold you back. So notice the collapse of the country, but secondly, the consecrated things were being removed. And just know, I don't want to get too far, because I want to close pretty much with this. But sometimes in life, we allow things to be taken that should not be taken. Sometimes not just the enemy comes against us to remove those things that are good and holy, but sometimes we ourselves allow those things to be moved on. And let me just read what it says in verse 2 again. "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and the part of the vessels of God, house of God, which he carried to the land of Shinar, to his house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God." So not only did the nation fall, but King Nebuchadnezzar took the consecrated things, the holy things, out of the house of God to his house, which was a house of God's. You ask, why would they remove these vessels? Because, they were precious metals of gold and silver, those things, they had great value. But secondly, they were put in the house of Babylon to show that the gods of Babylon were stronger than the gods of the Jews. Anyway, that's what they thought. But thirdly, and most importantly, when they remove those precious things, the things of worship, it will keep the Jews, those Jewish boys especially, from worshiping as they were commanded to. In a sense, they would feel a failure, and they would simply relate that to their God. They could not enter to the temple and burn incense and pray. They could not sacrifice at the altar. They could not bring their sacrificial gifts to honor the Lord above. When the precious things were removed, oh, how terrible it would be. I think about our country today and how we've let things be removed, not from an invader, not from a foreign enemy, but ourselves. We've let prayer be taken out of school. We've taught there's no God based on evolution. We teach those things today. And I'm thankful for Lake Butler and our school system and how they stand firm. I brag all the time. This is the largest Christian school in the state of Florida. Now you say, Christian school, well, I know it's a public school, but amen, we have great leadership. And I'm thankful that it has stood firm on the fact that Christ is Lord indeed. If they take Brother Mike to prison, we're going to go visit him. Amen? Amen. Even worse than we've let outsiders do this, we've let ourselves do the same. We've spurned the Lord's day and made it like any other day. We've spurned the fellowship of God's presence and God's people. The house of God should be filled across our nation, and yet we find today house of God after house of God almost empty on the Lord's day. We have left our Bibles behind. Many don't even read their Bibles. Or I wonder if someone took our Bibles, would we even miss them? I wonder, would we let the worship of God wane because of our own doing? No enemy needed. I wonder today, as you look at your life, would you recognize what God wants you to do? I so desire to keep on preaching, but I know the hour's closed, and I want to just end with this. I wonder, will you simply allow the enemy not to have a foothold in your life? Will you recognize, yes, there are troubles and trials and hardships, great tests, but will you stay firm and allow that test to let you have a testimony like Daniel will have for generations to come that will influence not just your life and those around you, but others that follow you? I wonder this morning, will you make a commitment in your heart right where you sit to say, I will be faithful no matter what takes place in my life. I will honor God. I will purpose to the Lord above that I will not define myself, that I'll be found a faithful man or woman of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a second. There is no invitation this morning per se, but this one. If you're here today and you know God's calling, why not answer the call? If you're here this morning, you feel the tug, maybe you've had hardships and trials and hurts, and you're not being faithful as you should, maybe simply in the quiet moment, call on the Lord who always answers. Call on the Lord who can supply. Call on the Lord who can overcome. I've seen it time and time again. God willingly and lovingly yearns for you to take his hand, to be found in him, and to follow him. I wonder, will you do that this morning? Simply the best way you know how. Say, Lord Jesus, maybe it's for salvation, save me. Or Lord Jesus, for help, help me. There's a God in heaven who so desires to do those things for you because you are his dear children. So, Father, today we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray for Miss Tammy and just the issues she's had. We pray also for the congregation that you bless them. And, Lord, I know it's just a chaotic time, but, Lord, just use your word to pierce our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. Lord, I pray that you would move mightily in our midst, not just the next few minutes, but all of our life, that even during our time we live in, that we'd be found in such a way that others would simply know there's a God in heaven that loves them, and there's a God in heaven who overcomes. Help us, Father, follow that in Jesus' name, amen.